I realized when I sat down that I'm wearing the exact same outfit I wore last time.
2 days ago?
Yeah, it's winter and I'm into flannel shirts now because I'm always cold.
It looks super warm.
It's very warm. I love it very much, but they almost all, I have like 5 of them and they almost all look exactly the same, but this is the exact same one I wore last time.
Okay.
So, you know.
Thank you for your honesty.
The tube of you, but you're going to see a lot of this shirt in the next couple of weeks.
We don't get a lot of honesty in this documentary, so I'm glad we're starting.
You know what? Well, you and I, let's vow to be honest with each other.
Look. No problem.
Okay, great. Hi, Jillian Bentivali.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Fam, we have like over 210,000 subscribers on the Tube of Youb. Please go watch our videos. They're so fun. Subscribe. Join us there. They're just really, we are entertaining. I don't know what to tell you.
That's what they say.
You know?
You know, I've heard tell.
Yeah, it's really fun. We also have a Discord.
We have a Discord. It's a server.
Yeah.
And then there are channels within that server.
Yes.
And it's all really fun. And we talk about documentaries and also anything else. Like, there are all different channels for all different things.
Yeah. And so what do they do? How do they find it?
We have it linked in the show notes, I believe.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So go do that. What are we talking about today?
Okay, it's a documentary called Satan Wants You. It's on Apple TV. It's on Amazon. It's about the origin of satanic panic and like why we're here and all of the lies and bullshit that got us here.
It's also about how Satan only speaks in rhyme and Mother Mary only speaks in French. Like, there's a lot to unpack.
It's really funny that it's called Satan Wants You because Satan really doesn't give a shit about you.
Satan doesn't give a shit about you. The Church of Satan really has nothing to do with Satan.
No.
We'll get into all
we'll get
of
into
that.
All of
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Joining me now from Victoria is Michelle Smith, a one-time victim of abuse by a satanic cult, and Dr. Lawrence Pastor, the psychiatrist who helped her come to terms with that nightmare.
The book is called Michelle Remembers.
Michelle Remembers. We wrote it together.
Wrote together.
The first publicized account of such rituals.
They would put me in cages, sacrifice animals.
Eating feces and orgies and dismembering fetuses. These were things that you experienced.
That's right.
Who are these people?
Well, they're a secret organization. They're a secret society.
When that book came out, I mean, all hell broke loose.
It was a theory that there's a satanic conspiracy and there are children who are kidnapped, stolen, and sacrificed.
It's known as the satanic panic in the 1980s and 90s. I consulted on hundreds of these cases all over the Western world.
And all of this was started by this book.
So this is about a book called Michelle Remembers.
I never heard of this.
I never heard of it either, but it is very Go Ask Alice.
Yes, yes,
so,
yeah, very 70s.
Which we'll talk about a little bit later. But so it's written by this woman, Michelle Smith, and her psychiatrist, Lawrence Pazder.
Yeah.
And he, quote, extracted Michelle's memories about her time with a satanic cult. This is bullshit. It's abusive. It's insane.
It's horrible.
I would like to say, for the record, like before we start, I'm not here to argue the validity of repressed memories and extracted memories.
Of
I'm talking
course.
About this specific instance, and in this specific instance, it was bullshit and abusive.
Yeah, like I was.
And
very,
did a lot of harm.
And did a ton. I mean, we're still living with it.
Yeah, we are.
I feel harmed.
We are harmed. Like,
you know,
we were talking about this earlier. Like the world we live in now is also a direct result of what happened here.
So the first talking head we meet is this woman, Sarah Marshall. I just want to give her her proper. She's a podcaster. She hosts that You're Wrong About podcast.
Oh my God.
She's so amazing. She's so smart. I got a chance to have like a couple of phone calls with her once. She's just like a genius and she is very obsessed with satanic panic.
I feel like we get along very well.
You two, oh, you guys are, your energy, I don't know her at all really, but like your energy is different enough that you guys would be like a perfect match.
Yeah, but, and I love the podcast because it's all about like what you thought you knew about really fame, like Anna Nicole Smith, they have a podcast.
They did the Tanya Harding thing before everybody else.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And
I was
Cyber,
like,
actually.
Oh shit, yeah.
To me, it was important to present a discussion about it to people because this book has helped shape the world we now live in and whose contents we have to have some understanding of if we're going to know how we got here. So I think of Michelle Remembers as the patient zero of the satanic panic.
She calls Michelle Remembers the patient zero of satanic panic.
And it's true.
Yeah.
So chapter one of the book begins, this is very important, begins with Michelle having a miscarriage.
Yes.
We hear a lot of audio of these conversations with her doctor. And she's talking to Dr. Pazder and telling him about a dream she had. And this dream is like her hand is really itchy. And then when she scratches at the hand, like all these spiders come crawling out. And it's really upsetting to her. And I'm like, is that not normal?
Yeah.
Do people not have dreams like that?
No. Do you have dreams like that?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I hate that for you.
I'm like, you know, I'm a very bad sleeper. Like,
yeah.
I often have trouble sleeping for a great many reasons, not with sheets that work or anything.
I know. But, the sheets are great. The mattress is wonderful.
You know, but like I never have like, oh, like let's follow the purple frog into the garden and have a nice time.
I was swimming with whales the other night.
You know,
I never do in real life, but I was like swimming with the whales and I felt safe.
I wish. Like yeah. I've definitely had dreams where I'm like, oh, what is that? And then like pulling something out of me. So
no.
I'm like, to me, it feels normal. It's just, like you're going through some shit if you're having these kinds of dreams, like stress dreams. You work shit out in your dreams sometimes. So that didn't seem that crazy to me.
Well, the one thing I want to point out about this relationship between Michelle and Dr. Pastor is that they had worked together for 4 years. They ended their therapy together. Then Michelle had the miscarriage and went back to him because he was the therapist that knew her.
Right. So let's go to Victoria, British Columbia in 1976.
I've been there.
Really?
I went there for an afternoon with my friend Mike Jansen and his family. It's a lovely little city.
Victoria specifically.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because if I'm thinking of the right place, you can take a boat like from Seattle or something, like from Washington, like right across the channel, the river, the gorge.
There's a body of water that you have to get across.
Yeah, and you take a boat and then you go have a drink at a bar in Victoria. It's beautiful.
Oh, fun.
And then you come home.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so in that really lovely town that Michelle should have probably just, like, taken a beat.
Yeah.
Maybe enjoy nature.
Honestly.
Michelle talks about what she's, quote, discovered about her childhood.
This is coming to her through a form of self-hypnosis.
Is this through hypnosis, doctor?
Actually, it's beyond hypnosis. It's a method that Michelle had devised to go deep into her depths.
How had you devised this technique yourself, Michelle?
It just came about. In the atmosphere of Dr. Pastor saying to me, just go where you have to go. I'll be there with you.
The Dr. Pastor's not even regressing her. She's laying on the couch, regressing herself, and then he's guiding her through these memories. This does not feel like how it goes.
No, and, you know, he's, like, leading her to these memories and encouraging her wherever they take her. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure, like, good or bad, he's going to be there. And I'm like, bad, right? Fingers crossed.
Right.
Like, that's where the money is, doc.
Exactly.
Like, I think he's, like, really interested in the worst thing she can come up with.
For sure, and this is one of the reasons why I think this documentary stuck with me, because we hear so much of the audio of these sets. She's sobbing, she's crying, she's begging for help. It's really awful.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they will do a lot of press about this book that comes from these audio tapes, and she's always very calm and not hysterical on television.
Yes.
She's very, hysterical in this audio, but not on camera.
Yeah, it's almost like she's a totally different person in those sessions.
Something I noticed.
Girl, this episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack, hydration, and coffee sponsor.
IQ Bar protein bars, IQ Mix hydration mixes, and IQ Joe mushroom coffees are the delicious, low-sugar, brain and body fuel you need to win your day.
I start my day every single day with it.
Yeah, and here's the thing, that ultimate sampler pack.
Oh,
it's such a good way to try all of the products and flavors. You get 9 IQ bars, 8 IQ mix sticks, and 4 IQ Joe sticks. You can't go wrong.
Yep, put it in your pantry and then just like grab one when you're hungry. Also, all IQ Bar products are clean label certified and entirely free from gluten, dairy, soy, GMOs, and artificial ingredients.
Yeah, and you don't have to be like Mike who's running all the time to get use out of this. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, it's 3:00. I'm kind of fading. I need my IQ mix now.
And just like toss it in your water and make you want to drink more.
So easy.
Fam, the new year gives us all a chance to reset, so maximize your brain and body's potential with IQ bars, protein bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom cafes.
Their ultimate sampler pack includes all 3. This is what I'm saying.
So, fam, right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, including the ultimate sampler pack, plus free shipping.
To get your 20% off, text TCO to 64,000.
Text TCO to 64,000.
That's TCO to 64,000.
Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
I mean, yeah, obviously.
I said it the regular way this time.
That goes without saying.
Yeah. The first thing she remembers, this is like the big first memory she has. She sees people gathered in a room doing dances she doesn't understand. The walls are draped in black. There's candles. Her mother was present, but not in the ritual. And her role seemed to be to give Michelle to this group. Now, Michelle in this memory is 5 years old.
Right. And yeah, her mother like gave Michelle to the group.
They were dedicated to doing a lot of seriously frightening kind of things. And they sacrificed animals, and they used fetuses of babies in their ceremonies.
The they're sacrificing fetuses. They're sacrificing animals mm-hmm. in this memory. And her mother is there being like, take my daughter.
Yeah, like, this is all great.
Yeah.
So let's just, like, pause there for a moment.
Yeah.
And, like, the Michelle and Dr. Pazder story.
Yes.
Like you were saying, they worked very intensely for 4 years. And he says, there's a quote from him that says, there was no evidence of any of these experiences present in their very intense work together previously.
Like, for 4 years?
For 4 years. And then they stopped therapy. And then when Michelle came back, like, that's when this started, which is also, I think, just a little interesting to note.
Yeah. And, like, he's saying it's very hard to know where these stories are coming from. You know, we're back to Michelle's childhood in 1954. And this is where we learn a little bit more about Victoria. 70,000 people, safe and quiet. We learn, now, Cheryl, the youngest of three sisters, is here. She's Michelle's sister.
Yep.
She says, Tertia was the oldest, Michelle is the middle child, then me. She's
Tertia was pretty. Michelle was kind of fuddy-duddy. I was gorgeous.
And I was gorgeous.
Yeah, she's like, no, I'm kidding.
She was giving such Blanche energy. Like, her sisters wouldn't play with her because she was so pretty.
I appreciate that Cheryl is here to have, like, a little bit of levity.
We need it because here's the gag.
Yeah.
As the kids say.
Sure.
Michelle is alive. I kept waiting to find out that Michelle had died. No, yeah. Michelle is alive and just deciding not to participate in this.
Yes.
She literally raises hell and then runs for the hills.
110 million zillion percent.
Yeah.
So her childhood, you know, Cheryl says, she spells it C-H-A-R-Y-L.
I know. And I was like, I'm just going to say Cheryl.
Tertia.
I mean,
Tertia
is a great name. Like, yes.
So, I don't know.
Maybe it's Canadian.
It must be.
Maybe you can only have these names if you're Canadian.
I think that's true.
It's legal. It's against the law.
If we're going to be, like, spewing bullshit, that is 100% accurate to be on theme with this documentary. Yeah. Just things that aren't real.
You get on the boat, you go across the canal, you're in Victoria. You can also only have these names in Canada.
And then you're like, oh, is that my Canadian name?
Yeah.
So Michelle's childhood, their mother did not have an easy life, we're told.
My mom, she didn't have an easy life. Raising three girls on her own. My dad was in and out. You know, he was an alcoholic. And he had a gambling problem, so. When you have a husband that's an alcoholic, you don't have friends. You just don't. So Mom's been a very lonely life.
An alcoholic with a gambling problem.
Violent.
I know.
So their mother was lonely, obviously, struggled a lot. She had a ton on her plate with these three kids.
And they moved, like, their childhood was very tumultuous. They moved 9 times in the course of their childhood.
In 10 years.
Like, that's crazy. Before my parents got divorced, I think we moved 4 times in, like, 5 years or something. And that is hard.
And in this case, it always happened around a holiday. The dad would get violent, the cops would come, and the girls would have to move. And it's just so destabilizing for the kids to, like, never feel safe, never have a home base, always around the holiday, like, the trauma that.
What is it about the holiday, do you think? The dad would just, like, get hammered on Easter, literally, as one of the holidays they mentioned?
I mean, usually, just in our experience, like, ruining what's supposed to be a nice time, or just pressure, or I don't know what.
God, these people are amazing.
Just ridiculous.
You're literally pushing your daughter into Satan's arms, sir. Right.
Well, this is where I start having all these questions, because we get this audio from Michelle. She's being tortured by this cult, and her mother was there sporadically. And I'm like, where?
Right.
Tell me exactly where. Your house?
Right.
In the woods? Like, and when? Where weren't you in school? Like, was no one noticing that you weren't going to school? Where are your sisters when this is happening?
I think that we forget, and I'm saying we, like, I'm thinking of this in real time, how easy it is to, like, say things and then believe your own bullshit in the pre-internet age.
When you know this what I mean? Guy isn't asking her questions, right. He's leading her.
Yes.
The natural question would be, like, where was this happening?
Right.
Where were your sisters? Well, Where is anyone else from this cult?
Yeah. I mean, we are going to learn later what a financial, like, this book was meant to be an industry.
Yes.
You know, and I think that this guy had that in his mind from the get-go.
And joke's on us, it became an industry. Only it's just suffering and wrongful convictions
and no money. But every time that they would put away another preschool teacher, I bet they sold another 5,000 copies of the book. You know what I mean?
100%.
So Chidi is here.
So she's Michelle's friend. I have some concerns about Chidi.
Oh, but poor Chidi is just, like, a person who believes everything that's right in front of her.
Well, Chidi, I have, like, a fucking bridge to sell you.
I know, over the canal to get to Victoria.
Oh my God.
Well, she says, because she worked for Pazder, and she's saying,
Larry liked the limelight. You know, everybody liked him, and he liked being liked. And Michelle wasn't like that. Michelle is like a Puritan. You know, no off-color jokes and not really any swearing and no alcohol.
No jokes, no swearing, no alcohol. I wrote, can Michelle
get yeah, no fun.
Up? I know,
no
Jesus fun. Christ. But Chidi worked for him because she really liked to type.
Can I tell you something?
I like to type too.
Getting in a typing groove,
yes.
There's nothing like yep. it. And over the years
yeah.
of, I was always like decent, just because I like always grew
well,
up with
right
computer.
Now, we're probably 9,000 words a minute.
Well, that's what I mean. Doing this for all these years,
yeah.
I'm such a great typist. And it's not the official way. Like if I went to like typing school, I probably would do it
oh,
wrong.
Oh, you don't do like the keyboarding way?
I know I do, but okay. like I'm sure it's just my own muscle memory.
Yeah.
Is that like the official typing way? I don't know. Regardless, the point
uh-huh,
is
uh-huh, uh-huh.
when you get in a typing groove,
I know.
It feels so good. And remember that time I told you where I was typing so fast, the keyboard flew, a little key flew off
there
my
goes
laptop.
The e.
And I was like, oh my God, I don't
oh
have
my
time
God.
To even
I know,
get it.
I know.
It feels so good.
I get into such a good typing groove that when I start in the morning and it's not there yet, I get really annoyed.
It is, but like the muscle, it's kind of fascinating to
yeah,
me. Like
yeah.
how you're the body can do that. The muscle memory, it's like, you know, like we don't think about walking, we just
I
do
know.
It.
Typing is crazy because you literally have to know where all the letters are.
Like,
and like your brain just knows. Like it's, I don't even envision the keyboard. Like I just know exactly where it goes.
I couldn't tell you.
I know.
I know where the A and the S is.
A-S-D-F-J-K-L semi.
Yeah. If you asked me where J is, I'd be like,
Oh, well, I could do it with like the,
But
yeah,
I would
yeah,
need
yeah.
to, I'd be like,
it's right there.
Let me try to type this thing. It's kind of wild. So I get it. I got it. I was like, Chidi, I understand. Like, just like kind of mindless typing because what she does is transcribes everything that he records.
Yes.
So it's a kind of a perfect gig for people like us.
Yeah, truly. And we learn like this is the beginning of how this book gets made because what's happening is it's the sessions are on reel to reel. They're transferred to cassette tape where Chidi is transcribing them. And then Pastor, the doctor, is taking the transcriptions of these sessions and writing his own notes around them. And that is what the book is going to become.
Now, Chidi transcribed every single word 14 months worth of these audio tapes. And
yeah.
she says,
I listened to all the tapes and I believe that something happened to Michelle. There isn't much doubt in my mind. Something definitely happened to her. And I do believe it was a group of Satanists.
And it was definitely a group of Satanists.
No, it's that...
Piper, no!
Piper, no! It is that thing where I think when you, listener, see the destruction that this book has done in the world, and you learn that you've contributed to that, you must make yourself believe that it was real.
And must
it was,
you?
I don't... My thing is, like, I wish Michelle were here to take accountability.
100%.
Like, Chidi's here, not really taking any accountability, just saying she believes in hook, line, and sinker.
But, like, I would understand you, Chidi, if you told me this thing. Like, I was told, like, this was my friend
yeah.
and this doctor I admired, and I thought, you know, like, in the moment, how could I not? I was supporting my friend.
And she didn't know that it was going to become a book. She's literally transcribing the sessions.
You got, like, 10 outs here, and you're
yeah.
not taking... You know what I mean?
I know.
Like,
no, I'm with you.
I would be able to sympathize and be like, holy shit, like, oh my
yeah.
God.
But yeah.
No, she's not here for that.
So Sarah Marshall is telling us that, like, as these therapy sessions go on, Michelle is learning that her mom was, in fact, a Satanist. That's why she gave Michelle to these people. And she's saying that this book Michelle remembers just devolves into, like, endless passages of children being mercilessly tortured.
Right.
Like, that's what this book is.
And Michelle was one of them.
Yes.
In these memories. Like, you know, they're spending also, like, Michelle and this Dr. Larry are spending up to 6 hours together per session. That's just objectively too long for any kind of session.
No question.
Like, it's just too long.
Have I been in the middle of a therapy session and been like, can we do a double? And Jeff is like, absolutely, sure. But, like, that's less than 2 hours.
Maybe
two times into the 5 years I've been seeing this guy.
Insane.
Yeah.
6 hours of this?
No,
of,
right,
like, what
exactly.
we're hearing? Too much.
Well, because we'll learn later, like, she's obsessed with him.
Well.
But I do think that Michelle doesn't necessarily understand what's happening.
She's, like, being groomed.
She's... Thank you. That's exactly
that's
the right word.
Yeah, yeah, she's being groomed.
Yeah.
Well, they're obsessed with this work, but they're also both married.
Yes.
And Mary Lynn is Dr. Larry's wife. She clocked this shit from a mile away.
Oh,
and she's here to tell us about
it. I love
it.
Her. Cheryl was married to this guy named Doug. By all accounts, he was, like, absolutely wonderful.
And Cheryl, the sister, is like...
Michelle had a huge imagination. She always created things. She was very creative. So she had made her wedding dress, and she had made her husband's suit. But the wedding, I remember Larry coming in, and I thought it was odd that a psychiatrist would show up at a wedding of a patient. But there must have been a connection between Michelle and him.
It was super weird that my sister's psychiatrist was at her wedding. That feels like a boundaryless situation, but, you know, here we are.
I mean, I feel like that's, like, just ethically, like you should yes. be, what's the equivalent of being disbarred for that?
Like, you get your license ripped away.
Exactly.
But this is also where Cheryl, the sister, drops in that Michelle had a big imagination. She's always, quote, making things up. She's very creative.
Yeah.
Which, not all creative people,
no.
I'm just saying.
But most.
But this one in particular.
I know. Girl, Remy is back. Look, it's a new year. It's time to start taking your health seriously. And part of that means protecting your teeth while you sleep, you sleep chewers.
I know. That's the thing. Like, when you're clenching your teeth or
yes.
grinding your teeth, you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
And so you need something to help protect your teeth.
Listen, Remy's custom night guards are clinically tested and FDA cleared to prevent teeth grinding, reduce jaw tension, and facial muscle strain, and improve sleep quality.
You know how much we care about sleep quality.
Listen,
I'm not even kidding.
It's literally all I care. It's sleep quality, then Daisy, then Steve.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
And with Remy, you get the same professional quality and comfort as a night guard from the dentist. But Remy costs you 80% less and is much more convenient than having to go to the dentist office.
Right, because here's how it works. And Steve did this, and he was obsessed with it because he sleeps with a night guard every single night. You receive your impression kit straight from your door. You follow Remy's step-by-step instructions to get your perfect impression. Remy crafts and ships your custom-fit night guard, and you get your night guard back and start protecting your teeth. So, like, you do the impression at home. You don't have to go to the dentist's office anymore.
Yeah.
You send out the impression. They send it right back to you. And Steve was like, and this might be gimmicky. No.
Did he notice it right away?
Right away.
Amazing.
He loves it. He's never gone back. It's been a couple years now.
This is what we're saying.
So, fam, start the new year right and use code TCO to get 50% off your purchase of a new night guard.
That's 50% off at shopremi.com/TCO with code TCO.
Thank you, Remy, for sponsoring this episode.
And everyone's good night's sleep.
Truly.
And, like, calm teeth.
Teeth chewers.
I mean, come on. They don't mean it. They don't even know.
They're not doing it on purpose.
They don't know.
Mary Lynn, who's Pastor's ex-wife, she gives us their backstory. They met when she was 13 and he was 17.
Yeah.
Fucking woof.
Woof.
Mary Lynn and Larry, the doctor, like, they stay together. Like, they meet at that, with that age difference, but they end up getting married when he graduates from medical school. She graduates from nursing school. They get married, and everyone says this guy's kind of great. Like, he's fun, happy, cheerful, charming.
Yeah, her mother says he could charm the birds right out of the trees. He collected friends like a dog collected fleas. And I'm like, is that a compliment?
That's how the devil talks, only in rhyme.
Oh, I see.
It's probably a poem straight from the devil.
I understand. Yeah. So Mary Lynn's mom is the devil.
Could be.
Mother-in-law.
But Teresa, their daughter, is here. I love her. And she's saying, like, her dad was super religious. Now, this is very important.
Major.
She says the Catholic Church was the only church. Teresa was daddy's little girl. They were really close. And she really looked up to him because he was a psychiatrist. And that was, like, something to aspire to be.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Nigeria in 1964.
I don't really want to.
Well, because Dr. Larry is there. He's filming this culture he knows nothing about.
It's horrible.
And because he doesn't understand it, he decides to demonize it. Which, by the way, is satanic panic in a nutshell.
Exactly.
And the racism here cannot be ignored.
And by the way, the nuns there clocked him. They're like, you're crazy. Get out of here.
He's here to, like, point and demonize the non-white people
yeah.
in Nigeria for, like, being weird and just literally practicing their culture and their own religion that he just doesn't get.
He was also, like, an early adopter of, like, all of the video cameras. And so he videotaped all of this.
Yeah, it's complete. It's just like going to see people, quote, in their natural habitat. And because he didn't understand what it was, and it was not what the Catholic Church was doing.
Exactly.
They were evil. He goes, they are in a possession state. They're really not. They're just doing their own religious practices and showing their culture.
But what this really tells us is that this guy is primed to, like, think about cults, think about anything that is, like, antithetical to what he believes or sees or knows is cultish and scary.
Right.
Now we learn that the devil speak coming out through Michelle is so sophisticated, they need a priest.
Yeah, well, he comes out of the fire. He speaks in rhymes.
He comes out of the fire. He speaks in rhymes. One thing, we're going to learn that Mother Mary only speaks French in a minute. I've got a lot to say about that.
Okay.
But this priest that they enlist, his name is Father Guy.
And he knew Dr. Larry. This isn't just like, who's the best at this? Let me find them. It's like, here's my friend
yes.
who's in on it.
And, like, it cuts back to Michelle talking about how was being tortured and brutalized.
And out of that, a woman came and stood beside me and took a hold of my hand, identified herself as Ma Mère.
Ma Mère?
Ma Mère.
The Virgin Mary.
That's right.
Mother Mary, they referred to her as Ma Mère, visited Michelle and talked to her in French.
the Virgin Mary appeared as Michelle was, quote, literally being frightened to death.
And this, Mère, they called her.
White light came over her, and she's telling Michelle what to do in French, which is weird because Michelle doesn't speak French.
Except for in this instance, she does. She's like, I spoke back to her in French. Here's my question. Mm-hmm. Mary was not French.
No.
You know what
it's
I mean?
All bullshit. But it's like so unbelievable that that's what they're banking
like
on.
Like only in French.
Can we please talk about Bishop Remy DeRue? And I cannot believe this is not a drag queen. Remy DeRue. Can someone please tell me there's some deep cut drag performer whose name, like welcome to the stage, Remy DeRue.
Remy DeRue, sashay away, bitch.
Please, need some kind of performer of the stage to go by the name Remy DeRue as a total fucking dig and drag to these people.
Oh my God, yes. Please. I want Remy DeRue to redo that Natalie Cole thing that happened all those years ago that was like the most famous lip sync for your life.
Yes.
Here's my favorite thing about Remy DeRue, though, is that he decides they
How
got,
is that not a drag?
I know.
Remy DeRue.
I know. Who do you think Remy DeRue would have done in the snatch game?
Is Remy DeRue in on the joke?
Yeah. Let's
then,
say yes.
Then, like, Satan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Sexy, slutty Satan.
Ah, talks like this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Or just, like, talks like RuPaul. But
Satan. Totally.
You know
oh, that's
mean?
Good. Remy DeRue does Satan in snatch
or
game.
Or just, like.
Not since Jinx Monsoon. Up in here.
Right? Or the vibe would be like, if I were Remy DeRue, I'd just be like a total goth queen. Like, total.
I want to see Remy DeRue do one of those challenges that they used to do in the early seasons where, like, on day one, they put them in full glam and then do the wind machine to blow all the, and then they throw them into a pool.
Yeah.
That would be great.
You know?
Remy DeRue. Well, the actual Remy DeRue, he decides.
Bishop Remy DeRue decided that her memories had enough import that they needed to go to Rome and tell the Pope this. And so they did.
He decides they've got to go see the Pope.
We got to tell the Pope about this now.
But my favorite part about this is the priest who connected the bishop with Michelle and Larry doesn't get to go.
Also, is that all it takes? We have zero proof of this.
I know.
We have zero proof.
Give us some stigmata or something.
How
you know
are
what I mean?
Falling for this?
I mean, remember that lady on the Unsolved Mysteries that we covered that was literally crying diamonds? Give me a little of that. It's all about the showbiz.
Remember the crying diamonds?
Crying
lady?
The diamonds. She was sweating gold.
Yeah, she got gold foil and glued it to herself.
Remy DeRue would never.
Like,
would
Remy.
Never.
That's the name.
The House of DeRue.
That's
oh,
the name.
Come
are you,
on.
I stopped. I was like, wait, what?
Wait.
I went back. I was like, hold on a second. Is that really this bishop's name?
When RuPaul retires, it's going to be DeRue Paul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
She's going to take
Remy
over.
DeRue.
We did it.
We need it. And you're welcome. Please take the name, take the inspo, some performer out there, please do it. Or
DeRue
some stripper.
Paul's drag,
some like
drag
hot
race.
Goth stripper. Please,
yes.
God. Welcome to the stage, Remy DeRue.
I know.
Oh my God. So anyway, it's October 1980. The book comes out and it's the biggest fucking thing ever.
And like Cheryl, Michelle's sister, is shocked because she's saying like they were famous. Everywhere they went, limousines, the best dinners, they're wining and dining people all over the world.
But most of all, attention.
And money.
But the most valuable of all.
Yeah.
Dr. Larry is getting the accolades.
Now, we learned.
I know they got 245,000 US advance for the book.
And I know it was translated into a bunch of languages other than just English. So I know the book must have sold a lot of copies.
They get a $245,000 advance for their book. That's $930,000
like
in today's money. As a person who wrote a book, that is not what publishing is like today.
No. And like, so then Michelle goes on that show to tell the truth, which was a game show back in the day that Frank Abagnale was on.
No.
That's how Catch Me If You Can opens.
No.
The movie Catch Me If You Can starts with like a recreation of the show to tell the truth, where it's like, oh, I pretended to be a lawyer and a pilot and I like signed
that
bad checks.
Is what, because fam, if you don't know what this is, it's like three people standing up there and the narrator
the same story.
Is saying that like, this is the story of one of these people. And then I guess they ask them questions to figure out who's the real
Julian
Pensavalli.
Right.
Yeah. And so number one, if you, like, this is part of the PR campaign for the book. Like, this book is about how you were tortured.
At 5 years old.
5 years old by the fucking devil. Even Mother Mary couldn't save you.
And the mother
Pope
gave
Lucretia
you.
Pope Lucretia LaRue or whatever couldn't save you either.
You know, like, your mother gave you to the cult for the torture.
But go on the game show.
I looked up some other episodes of this because I was like, this feels heavy.
Yeah.
The youngest professional clown. Gin Rummy champion.
Stop it.
Gift wrap specialist.
Yes.
Like, is that my mother?
Yeah.
be expert. So this is the kind of vibe that people are expecting when they tune into To Tell the Truth.
Not five-year-old satanic cult torture survivor.
That's what is happening here.
My God.
Be expert.
So Cheryl, the sister, is explaining she's having surgery the day that Michelle is on the show. She comes out of surgery, sees Michelle on the TV, thinks she's hallucinating. Cheryl seems like a hoot.
Yeah, she does. She's over it. Cheryl is someone who's been through it. She's done. She's done the work. She's ready to talk about it. She could talk about it. She can make jokes. She's good.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Charles Ennis is here.
The book came out in 1980 and I heard about it almost immediately because I was the first Wiccan priest in law enforcement.
He is the first Wiccan priest in law enforcement. Fuck yeah.
I think that is amazing. However, I wonder how that went down to be the first male witch in law enforcement. Was that at the academy,
Thank
do you think?
Thank you for your service,
You know
Charles?
What I mean?
I mean, it would be hard enough for a woman to do it, so God
Are you
knows.
A Wiccan? I prefer male witch.
Like...
Legit. It's that thing where, like, with the one that we just covered, Murder in Monaco, where, like, every time they referred to the nurse, they had to refer to him as the male nurse. Because, like, we are
Did
still...
They?
Yeah. And his male nurse, like, we are
I
still...
I prefer the worst Green Beret on the planet.
I don't know. The worst probably was never a Green Beret. But, like, I just was thinking, Charles Ennis, that's a very cool lower third. But then I was like, that means male witch.
Yeah.
Which I love. I'm so into it.
Yeah.
But I bet that wasn't... I bet that that didn't go great all the time.
Well, I wonder how honest he was about it.
Very good question.
You know?
Yeah, totally.
Just saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's here to tell us how dangerous the book was.
He's
that
a male witch.
So popular. Like,
yeah.
Because, and like, now these two are suddenly, out of nowhere, the authorities on Satan, the cults, torture, abuse, recovered memories. They are suddenly experts on it just because they say they are.
And also, they are now looked to by the FBI and law enforcement to be able to identify kids and adults who've actually suffered this.
We are way past trying to get proof of this.
Yes.
That ship has sailed. Now
yes.
These two people are experts and everyone needs to live in fear because your kids are going to get eaten and sacrificed.
And or stolen and kidnapped. At one point, we get a statistic that there are 3 million kids born in the United States every year. 2 million of them are missing.
Like
because they've all been stolen by the Satanists.
Oh, my God. They did a publicity tour for 2 years. Every show, every camera, every microphone. Then it just keeps getting worse.
In 1981, there was an American Psychiatric Association annual meeting. And Pazdur talked about the content of Michelle Remembers. And he started generalizing that there was this phenomenon, you know, beyond that particular story, that there was a phenomenon called satanic ritual abuse.
Now they're the keynote speakers at psychiatric conventions.
Yes. And when we see the B-roll of this, it's social workers, it's all of these people. Like, look, having been through the foster care system, I can tell you how important the role of the social worker is. If the social worker comes to your home and is like, this kid has been hit or bit or whatever, they will take that kid that day in that moment.
They're contaminating this very real profession.
Yes, and these social workers are sitting there taking notes as if any of this is fucking real.
And like, to see it happen in real time, almost like one thing after another, because now it's suddenly been discovered that there's a phenomenon of satanic ritual abuse.
Yes.
It is bullshit. It's an insane conspiracy theory presented as fact that children are being stolen and abused and sacrificed all in the name of evil, like a very, very, very specific evil.
Girl, ZipRecruiter is back. Look, sometimes hiring people can be like dating, you know? Like you go out like on a date and you're like, what are your deal breakers? What are you looking for? Look, the same goes when you're hiring. You definitely want to address key questions first to see if someone could be right for your role.
And that's why you need ZipRecruiter.
Yes.
When you post your job, ZipRecruiter suggests screening questions to help you hone in on top candidates faster.
And today, fam, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
So not only do they recommend the screening questions so you can get like the highest quality applicants.
Yeah.
They also show who's been recently active. So
yes.
You might like fall in love with a candidate and be like, oh, but then you realize, oh, they haven't been active
too
in 2 years. So
yeah.
Too late.
ZipRecruiter's also got this matching technology, which immediately finds qualified candidates that check all your boxes. Imagine if that existed in dating as well.
Can you believe
it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site based on G2, obviously.
So, yeah, exactly. Fam, ask key questions and hire faster with ZipRecruiter.
4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
I see what you're doing.
Love is in the air.
I see you.
Girl, Ritual is back. Look, we love the science. We love the ritual. And look, Ritual's team of scientists pored over thousands of studies to identify the common gaps between nutrient needs and what people are actually consuming across different life stages.
Yeah, and their Essential for Women 18 Plus Multi contains 9 key nutrients
yes.
in 2 delayed release capsules designed for optimal absorption per day. So, like, there's a good chance you're not getting everything from your diet, and
yeah.
that's okay.
Oh, yeah. That's what Ritual's here for.
That's what I'm saying.
They also conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. And guess what the results were, girl? It increased vitamin D levels by 43%, omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks.
And it's third-party tested for heavy metals, and it's Clean Label Project certified, so you know that you can trust what you're putting in your body. If I'm putting in 2 delicious, minty, fresh
yeah.
pills that are easy on my stomach, I also want to know what's in them.
And honestly, you've been taking them for forever. It's
yeah.
been a thing that's worked really well. We love it. And so, fam, instead of striving for perfect health, aim for supporting foundational health. I like that.
Yeah. Save 25% on your first month at ritual.com/TCO.
That's ritual.com/TCO for 25% off your first month.
There you go.
Blanche Barton is here from the Church of Satan. She says, we called these people cops for Christ. And they all, she's the one who says, like, they all had their own agenda. So, like, now it starts with Larry and Michelle being the experts, but then anybody can just say that they're an expert, and now they can lead the seminar. And what we're also told, too, is that if you go and take one of these seminars, you get an actual certification. Like, it actually, like, you can put that in your email signature now. Like,
yeah.
it actually, like, bolsters your career to take this bullshit seminar and say that I'm now an expert in whatever it's called.
Satanic ritual abuse.
Yeah.
So we see that very famous, like, law enforcement guide to satanic cults video. Amy yeah. Berg used it in West of Memphis.
Yes.
If you really want to see this at work, watch West of Memphis.
Yes.
For a great many reasons. But one of them is that, like, oh, these, like, experts with their certificates are on the stand and they're bullshit.
What is it that Damien used to always say, that, like, if I could levitate, I would have levitated the fuck out of Arkansas?
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Like, if I could do it, I would have done it. I
exactly.
would have used it for good.
I would have eaten your kids and gotten the hell out of here with my levitating powers.
Like, but people were like, but they're eating kids.
Right. Yes.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cat. Like, this is all fucking the same thing. It's the same. History repeats itself.
Do you know what I was thinking about a little bit, just as a parent watching this, is that, like, parents are so scared. Parents are so... Now, this does not excuse anything. It doesn't excuse anything. But parents just live in constant fear that they're not doing enough, that their kids are... that they're putting their kids in harm's way. You can't put them in school anymore. You can't put them in daycare. And it's like, the thing about this satanic ritual abuse bullshit is that it's the confirmation parents want.
Right.
To say that, like, yep, it's I. That's right. Like, I, yeah. you know what I'm
it's
saying?
It's something to put your anxiety on.
Yes.
Instead of this, like, fear of the unknown. It's
yes.
like, this is something you can point to. And it's like, the cops are being taught how to, quote, spot Satan.
I do lectures throughout the country. In fact, I was in Canada, did a presentation for about 150 multi-agency personnel up there.
There is some fucking idiot showing off a Ouija board. That is a board game made by a company called Hasbro that makes every other board game.
Have we talked about this already? The TikTok about the dad, and, like, the caption is like, my daughter has a bunch of friends over and they're playing the Ouija board in the living room, and he goes down to the basement and turns off the power. And it's so good.
Right.
And
again, it's just a prank because
yeah,
it didn't happen.
I know.
It's a board game.
It would be great if we could figure out how to communicate with the dead, though.
Sure.
We should get on that.
I think people can.
Yeah. Remember the lady who did and was like, the body's in the basement under the
next
dartboard
to the
or whatever?
Target thing.
And it was, she was right.
It's the secrets to be buried.
She's the one.
I know.
You know what I mean?
She does weddings now.
She does weddings?
Yeah.
Really?
She does, like, all kinds of weddings. Look at her website. Go go look her up. She's out there.
Oh, and...
She's out there.
She's out there.
And just, like, a quick reminder that Satanists don't believe, like, from their website,
yeah,
they don't worship or believe in Satan. That's, like, the first sentence.
I mean, I will
they're
say,
atheists.
100%, it was, like, when this started, it was a little bit of shock value. Like, they are a little bit to blame for the Satan thing, because it's, like, you used his name to, like, make a statement, and now here we are.
To sort of, like, take it back, I think. Because
yeah.
they say, like, our position is to be self-centered.
Yeah,
they'll
right.
say as much.
Yes,
with ourselves being the most important person of
yes.
our subjective universe. So sometimes people say we just worship ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, they don't, like, they say Satan to us is a symbol of pride, liberty, and individualism, and it serves as an external metaphorical projection. Blah blah blah. So they are using it to be like, ha ha ha.
Right.
But, like,
I mean, like,
Michelle
the Church of Satan is out there, like fighting for gay rights. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, they're all about the individual. They're
right.
all about the rights of the individual.
And the scary thing about this is that even though this conspiracy theory is bullshit and it's all fake. There was real panic happening. Like, the panic was real.
Yes.
And that's the problem.
Well, so, okay, we're in Victoria, 1982.
Michelle and Larry were always talking all the time, Victoria, in the church, explaining satanic cults. And that's when someone said that the child was going to be stolen from the hospital, and it caused major havoc.
It was in the paper that Satanists were going to take a baby from the nursery. People were really alarmed. They were really upset.
Michelle announces to the world that Satanists are going to start stealing babies from hospitals. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? And here's my question is, do you think that at any point she believed it? Because I think that is possible.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I think this all is because of her miscarriage. I think she needed to work through that in a way that she didn't.
Yeah.
And so if you everything goes back to babies and babies being harmed and something horrible happening to a baby. And I think that is her way of working through, for lack of a better term, because she didn't work through her miscarriage. I think that's why we're here.
I think one of
I think that's tragic.
It's horrible. One of the most believable moments in this entire thing is in the very last thing we hear at the end of the documentary. She's saying, I don't know what is real. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what is real anymore. Yeah. Because this doctor fucked with her mind.
Yeah, I think there's obviously no expert, but I think there could be some kind of psychosis here, and then being led through these memories, these nightmares.
She had an ulterior motive, which we'll get to soon.
Yes, yes, yes.
But now the world is on fire thinking that babies are going to be stolen by Satanists. And this is where we meet Ken Lanning, FBI special. I love this
guy. Ken's super weird. I've been with the FBI since 1970. And then literally all of a sudden, one day.
Yeah.
There were the only case that came across his desk was a satanic cult. And he's it really came out of nowhere thanks to the book.
He goes, I was a regular FBI agent for 10 years and then this. Yeah.
And then he became the expert on Satanism, the occult, cults, the whole package. And he's here's what's weird.
As I began to respond to these cases, I started out with an open mind. And I kind of thought that this had to be going on because why would these people be saying that if it didn't happen? Pretty soon, somebody mentions Dr. Posner and the book Michelle Remembers. So I start to hear them getting involved. And the number of cases that I were consulting on in this area just began to grow.
And it all comes from Michelle's book.
Yeah, and he's all right, let me investigate this with an open mind and see what's actually going on here.
And I will say, he says that he goes into this work with an open mind, and he, sees the book, and he's like, well, it was co-written by a doctor, so it's got to be kind of legit, right? And then we learn, now we covered this in a whole other episode, but we learn about the McMartin preschool case.
It's episode 280 from 2023.
And we meet Elizabeth Loftus. She's a memory specialist. I love that because memory is crazy.
Yeah. So this is the case where this horrible woman, Kee McFarland, was convincing kids that they were abused.
Yes.
Sexually abused, psychologically abused, tortured, then forced to watch animal torture. There were more than 300 counts against these people who ran the daycare.
Yes.
And Dr. Kee was playing fast and loose with the kids. The fucking irony. Saying your friend said this happened to you, so.
I mean, it's so fucked up, the idea. They're implanting, memories of these little kids' minds of themselves being sodomized, raped, watching babies being murdered. This is shit these kids are going to live with for the rest of their life, believing happened to them.
What I don't understand is why these adults want the kids to be abused. Why does she want the answer to be yes so bad?
Right, yeah.
That is bizarre. That is a next level to me.
To me, there's a little bit of yes, the world is as bad as we thought. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, except it's got to make sense to somebody.
We go into it more in the episode and in the documentary that we covered, so check it out. But the way she's no, but come on, you were raped, right?
Yes.
And it's why would you want this little child? They want it so badly.
Here's my question. We learn here that
Children's Institute International, which was a group that was involved in trying to get disclosures from children from the McMartin daycare case, decided to bring down Lawrence and Michelle as consultants to assist in the process. So they were directly involved in getting these disclosures and recovering memories.
They literally bring Michelle in to talk to the kids to confirm that what they've been told happened to them happened.
Yeah.
She's literally there to make it worse. This is just another example of Michelle being let loose on these kids who are 3 to 5 years old. These are preschoolers. And they're saying to Michelle, like, well, I was told that this thing happened and now I kind of remember it. And Michelle's like, yep, that's exactly what happened to me.
Let's go there.
Let's
instead of going the other direction. Yes. And by the way, all the charges were dropped and Kay McFarland, this fucking idiot, was exposed as a manipulator and she never took any ownership of it, just to be clear. But the damage is done. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Do you know what does matter?
What?
We're going to take a hard left turn here.
Where are we going?
We're going to a news broadcast where there is an anchor wearing the widest shoulder padded blouse I have. I sent a text picture of it to you this morning.
Yes.
This woman is petite. She's like your size. Her shoulders are like out to here.
Shoulder pads were all the rage for quite some time.
Now, I can deal with shoulder pads.
Yeah, yeah.
I can handle shoulder.
Yeah.
This, she looks like a linebacker. She looks like
David Byrne, like that big David Byrne suit.
Literally. Or like she looks like she's about to like run into that thing that they make the high school boys and the football team run into to like charge it down the field when they're practicing.
Oh.
Her shoulders are like, if she had to get through one of those metal detectors at TSA, she'd have to go sideways.
Oh my God.
It's wild. It took my breath away every single day. Now, if she loves how she looks, I'm thrilled for her.
That was all the rage back then, I think.
Huge.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it is wild.
It took you by surprise. Look, satanic panic is everywhere.
Police officers all over North America went out looking for this stuff and prosecuted people. The satanic panic was picking up steam and it started to spread out and affect more people. It just went viral. And all of this was started by this book.
Police are literally looking for people to arrest over it. Hello, West Memphis 3.
Yeah. Girl, Helix is back. Look, we were both traveling a lot. I gotta tell you, I was so looking forward to coming home to my Helix mattress. It was like the happiest thing I did when I got back.
I love it because it has the Helix sleep quiz.
Yes.
And that matches you with the perfect mattress based on your personal preferences and your sleep needs. And I didn't know it was possible, but the Midnight Lux has solved everything for
me. It's a 2-minute quiz. You take it so fast. They've got free shipping and seamless delivery, which honestly, I remember when my mattress arrived, they make it so freaking easy.
Yeah. And they have a 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty because you have to like be in it for a little bit to make sure.
And if it's not working for you, you send it back.
Yeah, very soon you'll be like, never mind.
I don't know that anybody's ever done that.
Yeah. And if you're like a study girly, if you're like, I want to see what the study says,
not me,
guess what?
But tell me everything.
But well, so a study they ran found that 82% of people using Helix saw an increase in their deep sleep cycle while sleeping on a Helix mattress.
I'm really not just saying it, fam. Like climbing into that bed, like you know that mattress is about to take care of you.
So good.
It's so good. So fam, go to helixsleep.com/TCO for 27% off site wide, exclusive for listeners of True Crime Obsessed.
That's helixsleep.com/TCO for 27% off site-wide, which is exclusive for listeners of True Crime Obsessed.
Yeah, make sure you enter our name after checkout so they know that we sent you. We want the credit, girl.
Yeah, helixsleep.com/TCO.
99.
So easy.
So easy.
So it's Victoria, 1976, like 4 years before the book comes out.
Yeah.
And Teresa is talking about Dr. Larry, her father. She had this great childhood. It was fabulous. She was really lucky. And she's like, but that was before the book.
Yes.
And then we learn about a made-for-TV movie from 1976 called Sybil. This is based on a book from 1973. And played by Sally Field, Sybil goes to extreme therapy like 5 times a week.
Yeah.
And in this therapy, she gradually remembers horrific, sadistic sexual abuse and torture done by her mother.
Is this real or it's fiction?
I think it's fiction.
Okay.
I mean, this, we're told it was like a fucking massive hit. Everyone read it.
Yeah.
Everyone watched it.
Yeah. Who hasn't heard of this?
It was a huge deal.
Yeah.
I never watched it. It sounds horrifying.
Well, but that's the whole thing is that like Marilyn, Pastor's wife, is saying all it took was him seeing that movie to be like, I want to be that kind of psychiatrist.
And he wants to be famous.
Yes, exactly.
That's what he wants.
And he says, I've got a patient with exactly the same set of problems. Like this is going to be, like this is the moment he realizes Michelle is his meal ticket.
And then you're like, oh, that's why she started therapy again.
Yeah.
Because he called her.
Right. And so Teresa, the daughter, says he was so invested in Michelle, so invested in getting this story, he gives Michelle his home phone number and she never stops calling.
The phone never stopped ringing. From,
yeah.
from that day until it all ended.
Yes.
Like,
Marilyn, the wife, says,
when he came in the door, I would watch the clock and sometimes it would get to maybe about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and then the phone would ring.
He'd be on the phone with her all night long. This is whether you're Michelle screaming these stories into the phone at all hours of the day, or Dr. Pazner having to fucking listen to it,
or his family having to deal with it, because then, like, he's not a husband and father anymore.
No.
This becomes his whole life. And so the kids and his wife are super unsettled by it. Like, it's not only, it very quickly stops being an annoyance to a major concern.
They go on this trip to Mexico for Christmas because, like, Marilyn is like, this is crazy. I got to get out of my way. She somehow gets the hotel phone number, is calling him the entire time they're on this
trip.
That
made it worse.
Yes. She said, Marilyn says that trip changed absolutely everything. They start describing Michelle as frightening. They're afraid of her.
Have you, you know the movie What About Bob?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Right? I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh my, it's so funny.
Yeah.
It's a comedy, right?
Yeah.
But it also, people have done that thing where they edit the trailer to make it look like a horror movie.
Oh, I love
because
that.
Because Bob goes to see Richard Dreyfuss for help, and then he's like, no, I'm leaving for the summer. I'm going to Lake Winnipesaukee with my family. We will start our work when I return.
Oh my God.
And so Bob is like, no, tracks him down at Lake Winnipesaukee and like won't leave.
Oh my God.
And it's funny because of how it's written. It's Frank Oz. It's like hilarious.
Yeah.
But you can easily edit that.
Totally.
And no one's believing Richard Dreyfuss. He's totally gaslit the whole time. He's like, this is inappropriate. And everyone's like, but he's fun. And but that's what's happening, only in the worst, most fucked up way.
And it's terrifying. And then we learn Marilyn says that they went to Edmonton for a wedding.
We went to Edmonton to a wedding. And she followed us all the way. And I cried all the way because there she was right behind us. This patient was everywhere.
Michelle follows behind them in her own car the entire way.
She's stalking them.
Literally stalking them. This is terrifying.
And Teresa says it was frightening. She also says Michelle was always there, but then she says this story had him wrapped around her finger, meaning he was like, oh, this is my meal ticket to make $1 zillion.
Literally. I mean, like, this is, I mean, that is what's really going on here. Like, he can't rebuff her in any way because she's the prize.
And now what's happening is even BFF Chidi says it's very clear to everybody that Michelle is incredibly attached to Larry.
Yeah.
And like, that's all part of it, right? Like, it's mutually beneficial for, according to him.
Well, and
it's
he's like
grooming her.
And they say that this can easily happen. If you've suffered a trauma, you're back with your therapist and like you're in these like 6 hour, we'll just call them passionate, like fucking sessions.
Yeah.
This happens all the time where the feelings get mixed up. He's grooming her. This is all in the name of making $1 million.
And this is 4 years before the book.
Oh my God.
So this goes on for years. And it's like he's encouraging the trauma, not helping her work through it. In this weird way.
Well, Sarah Marshall tells us that, like, what they know about their sessions is that, like, it starts with them, like, holding hands during sessions.
He's then sometimes placing a hand on top of her head, and gradually they move from the couch to a rubber mat he has on the floor so that they can both lie on the floor together, their bodies touching.
Lying down on the floor next to her, holding his patient. Jeff, get off me.
Yeah, sounds like grooming to me.
Oh my God.
So Marilyn, the wife, doesn't like any of this, obviously. She's like, this woman is always around stalking her family. Her husband is now not around. He's always with this woman. There's no boundaries, but also only boundaries with his wife because now everything's a secret. She's like, what is happening?
Well, so Marilyn calls up that father guy, and I think this is really fucking important.
She has to make a move, and boy, does she ever.
Because it's so, we hear that she records it, by the way.
Good for her.
Like, unbelievable. She is going in no nonsense. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
And she goes, when is this stupid book going to be finished?
Yes.
Like, I'd like my husband back, please.
And this is where Father Guy starts saying, like, this is going to be the most important book. People are going to die. It's going to be bombshells. There's so much money involved. This is where we realize this is an enterprise, this book.
She's like, I got to tell you, I don't get what's so important. I'm not seeing it.
Yes.
I'm not seeing it. And he's like, oh, people are going to be shocked and we're going to get rich. And she's like, I don't understand. So Mary Lynn realizes how big that it's like Bishop Fifi LaRue and fucking the Pope and all these people are involved. And she's like, oh, this is bizarre because how is everyone believing this? She goes, I don't understand how anyone would believe such a stupid book.
It's incredible. She goes all the way to the bishop and she's like, what? That lady was following us on our trip to Edmonton or whatever?
Yeah. Like, please, Fifi LaRue to the stage.
So then, exactly, after the book comes out,
it gets worse.
I mean, it gets so much worse. There's an article in People magazine and there's a picture of Michelle that Michelle supplied to the magazine.
There she is lying on this couch and she's got her top off. And why would you give that picture in the first place to
magazine. Like, you've got a wife back home. You're really going to get shit for this.
And they are, like, posing, like, Jack, draw me like one of your French girls, only they're in a session with their clothes off, like, clutching each other.
And this is where Marilyn says, I realized there was no hope. That's where his affection was.
This is it.
Michelle and Doug get divorced. Teresa, the daughter, is describing the mom. Because, like, the mom is like, forget it. She goes downtown. She knows it's over. She files for divorce. And Teresa's like, he just completely broke my mom's heart. I don't, by the way, think he was ever in love with Michelle.
And that, everyone's miserable.
Yes.
Michelle's miserable. The divorce is bad. Everyone, he's not even nice to his kids anymore. Like, what is the point of this?
All of this for, like, the $1 million to write this book.
Right. And then for us to drag you for an hour and a half?
Exactly.
I mean, to what end?
Oh, my God. We're back with the news anchor with the shoulder pads.
Oh, my God.
Same outfit.
Well, because now everyone on Earth is a victim of a satanic cult, and everyone is here to tell their story to Geraldo or whoever.
Yeah.
So, like, everyone...
Especially Geraldo.
Everyone has a story. Like, this one woman, for example, at 11 years old, she was raped and forced to have a baby, and then the baby was sacrificed, and then now
And
people...
she was forced to kill the baby, according to this woman.
Right. And I'm like, why isn't anyone asking a question other than, like, wow, was that crazy for you?
I know.
Why isn't anyone being like because
I don't think anybody believes it.
But they
also
tell us 100 times that you're not allowed to question these people because then you're the monster. I reject that.
Yes.
Fuck
yes,
all of this. Like, it's become a major and it's like now everyone you've ever met has been forced to kill a baby, but no arrests have been made and there's no proof of it.
I was just gonna say that because we get time and time again that like the people who do this are so good at covering up. They use crematoriums. They say that 1,000 times. Like, can you imagine a world where there's just a bunch of like rampant baby killers killing 2 million babies a year, but like nobody's been caught.
And then they're telling Sally, Jesse, Raphael about it and nothing happens to them?
Exactly.
Like, there's this one story where the woman's like,
he claimed that we had a pizza delivery boy come to our home. We cut him up, grilled him, and ate him.
Oh, we lured a pizza delivery boy over?
We cooked him and ate him.
And I'm like, are you even lying about ordering the pizza?
I know.
Did you not even order pizza? Like,
I know.
But no one's asking any questions. And I'll tell you why they're not getting arrested, because there's no proof of any of it.
Exactly.
Like,
where's the pizza boy, though?
In what world do you go on television and say, I was part of this?
Well, it's interesting because we get into the talk show culture a little bit here. What nobody says is how badly people wanted to be on these talk shows.
That's
you know what
thing.
I mean?
They want the attention.
They want the attention. They want to be flown to New York for the guests of the Rosie O'Donnell show. Stay at the Parker Meridian. You know what I mean?
They also show that Dale Griffiths guy from the West Memphis 3 trial. Like, he's such a fucking idiot.
Is he the turtle guy?
No. He's one of, like, the experts. He was, like, a cop and then got, like, certified over the weekend. And so he's, like, all over television being like, oh, yeah, like, totally.
Yeah.
And it also how could you be an expert on something that just started happening?
Right.
There's no studies done. No one's, like, actually being curious and trying to get to the bottom of it and arrest these people. Like, where are they all? Everyone has escaped the cult, but where are the cult members? Where is everybody? Where are you?
And where is the disbelief that these people could be killing babies and there wouldn't be a shred of evidence anywhere?
And where did it happen? And
exactly.
Where are all the missing babies?
Yeah.
No, because the story is I was there.
Right.
I gave birth to the baby and then I killed the baby. And also I'm walking free among you.
But 2 million missing babies.
Did Mary come to all of them speaking French?
Right,
how did
exactly.
They all escape?
Ma mère, where'd you go?
Where are the people being like, oh, Jillian was gone for 6 months?
Right.
Like, where
are
you?
Oh, well, we'll get to that. Yeah.
So, and also, this is where we get the statistic that suddenly 2 million children have gone missing, and our friend is like, the Satanists took and sacrificed 54% of the kids in this country?
I mean, like, and the thing is, the talk show producers don't care.
Love it. They see their ratings go
5 days of programming they got to do every week.
It gets to the point where the Church of Satan is suing Larry and Michelle.
Can you imagine when you're being sued by the Church of Satan?
For defamation.
For defamation, exactly.
And they kind of win because we're told that they took out most of the references in future printing. So again, the damage was done.
Yes.
But they sued and won. Which is pretty telling.
I mean, the Church of Satan is like, they're not fucking around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because also, this is not what they believe. So how dare you?
Right. Exactly.
So this is where we get Michelle's sister, Cheryl.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, here's what's weird. Like, this is what I needed the documentary to do.
Yes.
If we didn't do this,
I'd
be fucking pissed.
Yeah.
Because she says,
I don't believe that my mom is that type of person that would turn her child over to a satanic cult. It was not part of my childhood when I was a kid.
yeah, that whole satanic cult thing was like definitely not a part of my childhood.
No.
My mom actually died when Cheryl was 10. And this is all impossible.
The sisters are here to say she was never missing for 14 months. My sister was never missing for 14 months. My mom had a really fucking hard life.
Did her best.
It did her best.
Did not sacrifice any one of us.
No.
And like the question for the sisters is it's so hurtful.
Yeah.
Cheryl's like, why would she say that?
Right.
Why would she say that our mother who worked her ass off and was an abused woman and did her best for her kids? Like, why would she make up the story about our mom like that?
And like, this is the, and why would nobody investigate it? You know
That's
what I mean? Everyone's just taking it at face value because they want it to be true.
Well, Ken, the FBI guy who's a skeptic in this,
yeah,
it's 1987 and he meets Larry and Michelle at some event. They're the keynote speakers at something, like
yes,
poisoning all these minds.
But he's like literally there to like take notes and learn.
And he's like, here's the weird thing. Immediately, he notices that Larry does all the talking.
Yes.
So people will ask Michelle about Michelle's experience, and Larry answers.
Then Lanning from the FBI asks Pazner, why is that? Why is Michelle not answering? And he says,
Well, when she first came to me, she had no conscious memory of it. And through this therapy, this story began to come out over a year or more as time. And then he recorded it, wrote it all down, and documented it. And then after that, it kind of, most of it left her memory, and he was now the keeper of the story.
But once she recovered them, she instantly worked through them, and they went right back out of her head. So, Pazner, what you're saying is she didn't have the memories before you. You gave them to her, and then she couldn't remember them.
So you helped her invent this, and now the story belongs to you.
Exactly.
So guess what, everybody? Larry and Michelle get married.
Yeah.
Which is... I don't, like...
I mean, to me, at first I was like, wait, are they implying that they got married because, like, married people can't testify against each other? Like, that was my first thought.
Oh, I wish.
But, like, it just turns out, like, remember how insane Michelle was, like, stalking the family? She was totally in love with him. He saw dollar signs on her. And so they get married, and it's like... And once again, everybody's miserable.
But because everyone's like, they weren't even compatible. Like, not only is it totally unethical, but they didn't even really like each other outside of this bullshit conspiracy theory they created.
Yeah.
So, like, why can't, like, no one can understand. Even people here are like, why couldn't they just make money on the book? Like, why'd they have to get married if they don't even like each other?
I feel like the two of them never had the honest conversation. Like, I feel like Michelle got maybe, I know she doesn't drink, but she got, you know, she vaped one night and confided in a friend. Like, none of this ever happened.
Yeah.
But her and Larry never had that conversation. I think the two of them had to keep this lie up to each other, like, at all times.
That's true.
And it's sort of like, I think another reason they got, imagine if he tried to marry somebody else, what she would have done.
Well, that
like,
was impossible.
It's the kind of thing where, like, she's got the secret, he's got the secret.
We always thought there was a reason why he had to marry her. You know, he's a psychiatrist, and he crossed the line with her. And she had tied him into that lie so tightly with that book that there was no getting out of it.
If he does something she doesn't like, she can expose the whole thing.
Yeah. I do want to say, too, I don't want to forget that there's a very big possibility that she was groomed by him and totally abused by him.
Yes.
And that it's easier to, like, keep her under his thumb if he's married to her.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely true.
I think there's a lot of things at play here.
Yes.
But the, like, tell me more about your trauma and then lean into it in this way where he's, like, emotionally and psychologically tying them to each other.
Well, and I would say that, like, that was what Michelle wanted all along, I think. I think Michelle was always in love with him or was always obsessed with him. And I think that he saw that, like, if I can give her what she wants, she can give me what I want.
I think it's clear that Michelle went through a lot of shit. Her sister says as much.
Yeah.
And I think she was, like, looking for something.
Yeah.
Which is what happens with cults.
And I also don't want to discount the idea that, like, something really traumatic could have happened to her when she was five.
And
you also, know what I mean?
And something traumatic did happen to her with her miscarriage.
For sure.
So that is, like, the for me, the crux of this whole thing that no one's talking about.
Yes.
That, like, the miscarriage happened, and then it's all about dead babies and danger to babies and all of that.
And
it's like,
As frustrated as I am with her in all of this, I do... also want to remember that I do think those memory lines can become blurry. And I think when you're working with a psychiatrist, all of a sudden these things that you one time knew weren't real, mm-hmm. you start to forget or you start to think are real.
Yeah. And I think that was all part of his plan.
Yeah.
He knew he could manipulate her and like morph her mind in that way.
Yeah.
For sure. So then fucking Geraldo does this super damaging 3-hour special.
Why is he always doing 3-hour specials?
He doesn't push back on a goddamn thing.
None of them do. Just like, really, they never do. I know.
Countless people are accused. Men, women, insane accusations. People are going to prison, as we know.
And like, this was an epidemic. I mean, yeah. This was like ruining lives all over the place.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people who want to be like, the satanic panic wasn't real.
Today, a lot of people think that the satanic panic was sort of a joke. But a lot of conditions were created during that time for people to get more interested in the idea that evil, bad things were going on. And, you know, one of those things that you could really hang your hat on was Satan. And it was dead serious.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. I mean, like, turn on any talk show from the night. It was everywhere. It was what everybody, like, all, it was what everybody was talking about.
Yeah. And so Larry's ex-wife, Marilyn, is like, she writes to FBI Ken. She's like, I need to talk to a rational person.
She's like, let me tell you, now that you're looking into this, like, let me tell you how this all happened.
Because she wants to stop this.
Yes.
She is seeing all the death and destruction and wrongful convictions and trauma that's now, like, imagine being a 5-year-old kid going to daycare or whatever, and now suddenly you have these images in your head that you never would have
had. Oh my God, that is like, that's my worst nightmare for children.
If these people didn't exist or do this thing, like, you were just living your little kid life, being like a cute little kid. And now
you believe that you were like murdering your own baby at 5 years old.
And like all this stuff happened to you, like the image, like animals being hurt, like that sticks with you forever.
Forever.
Like, I have those images and I didn't have any of this
shit. Exactly.
So now you're putting this, like, why are you ruining all kinds of lives like this?
Well, Marilyn does the good work because Marilyn is like, let me get to the bottom of this. She researches the living shit out of Michelle.
Asking all the questions I've been asking, like, when and where exactly was this?
Yes.
Where?
Debbie Nathan, one of our talking heads, she's a journalist here. She's saying that in Michelle Remembers, Michelle offers specific dates. We're looking at 1955, when she was held captive by these Satanists. And she said it was like for 14 months. So Debbie is saying she should not exist anywhere in 1955 if that story is true.
Too bad she does.
Because they go back to her grade school.
And ask them for the yearbook. They have a collection of all the yearbooks. Her picture was right there. They said the picture was taken in the fall. Well, she was supposed to be locked up. She wasn't. Her picture was right there. There where she was, so you can't deny it.
They find her yearbook. They see, right, they show us the date, 1955. There's a picture of Michelle. It was taken in the fall.
Like, when she's supposed to be locked up.
Yeah.
And Michelle claims she didn't even know French. The Virgin Mary spoke to her in French, and she couldn't believe it, and that's part of the miracle, right? Her sister's like, right, but you knew French.
Yes.
Like, you won an award for French in high school. Michelle is an award-winning French speaker.
And, like, their grandparents spoke French, and Michelle would speak to them fluently.
An award-winning French speaker is going to sit here and tell you that Mary
that she
spoke
couldn't
French
even
to her.
Speak French to her with the Virgin Mary. Come on.
But she could understand it because it was part of the miracle.
Right. And the other part of the miracle, Ennis, the cop, the male witch, is back to say that, like, in the book, she describes being locked up, beaten, teeth knocked out, skin ripped off. There should be scars from that, right? No, the angel Michael came and took all of her scars away.
Sure.
Who is believing this?
I don't understand. I don't understand.
And, like, I also don't know if we said this before. The Catholic Church completely financed this book. Like, there is evidence to show that the Catholic Church completely financed this book. They wanted this as a propaganda tool.
Right. So you have Michelle seeing him because of a miscarriage. Suddenly her nightmares involve dead babies. You don't have to be Columbo to put two and two together.
Yeah.
And now you add the Catholic guilt?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. But also, like, the Catholics want the Satan nightmare to exist because where's that going to send people to the opposite? To the Catholic Church.
And, you know, go ask Alice, too, that book. Like, I own the book. It's a bizarre piece of propaganda. It's odd. It was, I think, written by some, like, Mormon mom.
It says anonymous.
Yeah, but it's like, it was like some mom from the Mormon church.
Oh, is that right?
So if you don't know about Go Ask Alice, Go Ask Alice is a book that was...
Then you clearly have not read my book.
That was supposed to be this, like, anonymous diary that was found. And it tells the story. And, like, through diary entries, we learn, like, the super, super wholesome girl who loved her parents and never, like, looked at a glass of beer.
Yeah.
Now, like, goes to party and smokes reefer, and now suddenly by the end of it, she's like forced into sex work and ODs.
Yeah.
And it's a total fucking fear-mongering insane thing.
That they made everybody read in seventh grade.
And then they made a boy one called Jake's Journal.
No!
But it's all propaganda from the church.
Oh, my God.
It's not actually some, like, or I think it was like her parents wanted the world to know to not do drugs.
Uh-huh.
So they released her diary.
Uh-huh.
Even reading it the first time, you're like, this
That's
is not
a little
real.
Much. Yeah.
Like the story or like, oh, and then I did this and that. It's like so crazy. You should read it. It's like a very fascinating time capsule of what the adults wanted the kids
Listen,
to think and not think.
Not
I own
only,
it. I will start. You know what? I'm going to read it again.
Not only did I read it, I did a high school, I did a seventh grade presentation where I dressed up as Alice and interviewed myself.
Oh my God.
It's in my book.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating read. Like, it's pretty enjoyable because you're like, this is insane. But like,
I did wear a wig and a miniskirt.
That's like pre-Alice or pre-drugs or post-drugs?
I don't, probably pre or maybe post. I can't really remember.
She becomes like a drug dealer in a week.
It's so insane.
It's such a fun read, as weird as that is for me to say. But the point is, like, this shit was happening.
Yeah.
And then it's suddenly like everyone is taking it as reality, and it's not reality.
Yeah. I mean, it's all just ridiculous. And it's, you know, like, just like as we're getting to the end of this thing, it's just like, We're coming back around. Sarah, the podcaster, is once again reminding us that this book has like an extraordinary number of dead babies in it. And that it's really just baby torture porn. And that is the origin story. That like, that Michelle was feeling this enormous guilt or whatever over the miscarriage, called her doctor. It's just so wild to me that the doctor would be able to say, you know what I'm going to do with this? I'm going to implant some devil shit.
Well, to that point, the reason Satanic Panic started to die down was money.
A lot of it had to do with insurance companies, because the therapists and psychiatrists and psychologists, they were being paid, sometimes covered by insurance companies for this endless counseling. And the insurance companies started investigating. They said, we're not going to pay anymore.
Insurance companies started investigating, and that's what happened. And they were like, I can't prove anything. Never mind. I'm cured.
Just another example of the insurance companies to the rescue. Thank you for bringing that up again, girl.
And then people started suing therapists for planting false memories.
Yeah.
It became a fucking mess.
Thank God.
But, like, this is still around. Like,
I know.
Pizzagate and QAnon.
I mean, it's just so crazy, and it's like the internet has only made it worse.
And we live in this world, like, right now, like, today, this minute, that people are just believing things that aren't true.
I know.
And like elected officials are lying to you about something that you can say like 2 + 2 = 4. And they'll be like, no, 2 + 2 = orange. And you're like, it's not though.
And it's crazy because like TikTok, all of these social media platforms only make it worse because they will only feed you the information that you're seeking.
And it's the algorithm and it's confirmation bias. It's just a mess. So like what they did fucked us for all eternity.
Yeah.
And it might have happened in some other way. I'm sure some other opportunist would have done it. But like in this case, Larry did it and now he's dead.
He died in 2004 of a massive heart attack, you know, and like the best part of his death was that it got Michelle out of his kids' lives. Like they literally say that.
Isn't that crazy?
Like she was with them all the way up until the very end. And Teresa was like, I basically never talked to my dad again. Calls her Bride of Satan.
Literally calls her Bride of Satan. And now Michelle didn't want to participate in this doc because, and Chidi is here to say, well, you know, the book ruined her life. Like she hates the book. And I'm like, well, I don't blame her for that, but she needs to take some responsibility. Like, unless I'm going to get fucking dragged because she was groomed and abused, which
no.
I understand. But at some point.
Yes. I mean, at some point, like, if she knows that she was groomed, come tell us. We'll be on your side.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like,
because Chidi's like.
And if anybody should have blame, as much as I loved Larry, and I'm not even big on men, but I loved Larry. And he, I think, was responsible for the book.
I love Larry, and I don't much care for men in general.
That was my favorite
line
of the whole
thing. Just like as a rule.
Yeah.
But this book is 100% Larry's fault.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, well, this is a traumatized woman who went through something, and we don't know the rest of what she went through, but we do know that she had a miscarriage, and that sucks. That is a tragic thing.
And the other thing I know is that I never need to hear therapy tapes of some lady screaming about the devil, like, stabbing her baby. Like, can this be the last time?
I
can't do it again.
I am grateful, I have to say, that that is your reaction, and not like, oh my God, can you believe how real this is?
Oh, go. You guys, we finally got the answer about the Satanist cults.
It would have been extra hard day.
Can you imagine if I was like...
Yeah, sorry, Chidi. You're on your own with this one.
Chidi,
believe in it.
You know what? Speaking of Chidi, go watch The Good Place, everybody.
Okay.
Oh my God, girl, we did. Satan wants you.
Satan he doesn't want you. You should care more about yourself.
You know what I want you to do, though, is go join the Facebook group. Really super fun in there. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is so much fun. Over 200,000 subscribers.
Wow.
It's so fun over there. Join the Discord.
Yep.
What are we doing next?
We are doing Kidnapped Elizabeth Smart on Netflix.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
It is excellent.
Oh, great.
Finally, we're kind of getting back
to her.
Like... We love her, but yeah, we're getting back to like well-made, yes, substantial, respectful, awesome documentaries. This doc is awesome.
How's her gay dad? Is he in it?
He's in it.
Oh, hey, queen. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, she tells a story. Her sister tells a story. Like, everyone is here telling the story. It's crazy. It's
okay,
really good.
Amazing. All right, we love that. So stay tuned for the trailer for that.
Yep.
And we love you.
We love you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Elizabeth Smart was a 14-year-old girl. The family said she'd been taken from her bedroom in the middle of the night.
I saw this cut screen, and the window was wide open. My wife screamed, call 911.
Elizabeth was living a very normal life in a very nice neighborhood.
Our community had mobilized. Everybody was willing to just drop what they were doing and search.
We love you. We want you to come home safely to us.
This case captivated the nation. There was a sense of, is it the family? Could he be involved?
My wife said, law enforcement, don't believe that you're telling the truth. I had nothing to do with this.
There's so little evidence to go on, but there was a witness to the kidnapping, her 9-year-old sister, Mary Catherine.
I knew I'd heard the voice. I just couldn't remember where I'd heard it from. I just wanted to tell them I'm still alive.